Dear Heavenly Father, Father, thank you for letting us come together in this time. Father, we understand we should be thankful every day. We should be thankful for what your Son did on that cross and him walking out of that tomb for us, Father. Father, let us be grateful and thankful that we live in a country where you placed us, Father. You placed us in your time for your reason, Father. Father, in this time of Thanksgiving before Christmas, let us be thankful and think about those that don't have what we have, Father. Think about those that are less fortunate all over the world and within our own county. Father, let the Spirit of God just guide our eyes to where we can help just one other person, Father. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. You could kind of follow along if you like. And it starts with, "To the chief musician upon Gittith," the Psalm of David. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hath set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength become of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, and thou visitest him? And thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have due domain over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. All sleep, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the fields, the fowls in the air, the fish in the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." I ask for a blessing on the offering, on the word of God today.
Praise be to God.
Praise be to God. To the chief musician upon Gittith. Gittith is a stringed instrument. So he's saying, hey, go play. Play this. Play this to this song. Which I think is awesome, kind of nice. Let me see if I can get everything to work here. "Have you ever laid in the ground and looked up at the stars at night? Laid in the back of a pickup truck looking at the stars?" That's what this is saying here. David is looking up at the stars, and he's seeing the majesty of God. He's seeing the wonders. One time in particular, I missed the last step of the deer stand coming down. I fell. I just laid there. Just kind of take it all in and look up in the star. "You want some help?" "No, I'm just going to sit here and get it all figured out in my head. The things I missed, knowing that I sloppily was in a hurry and fell down." So that's what they're saying here. We're just looking at it like that. He's looking up and he's looking at the stars. And he's forming this in his head. David sings a praise to the makers of heaven. He is being led to express certain higher elements of the truth, which he himself was not at that time aware of. When we stare into the stars today, we observe his handiwork, God's handiwork, with far more information than what David possessed. We are blessed to live in this time that Daniel prophesied, when true knowledge and the mysteries of God's creation would increase. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. We're going to consider the majesty of his name, of God's name. We're going to talk about God's care for all of us humans, the exalted position over creation. When David begins this psalm, he magnifies and he exalts the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. The Old Testament time, names represented character. They were very carefully selected. They were often changed in adulthood. When people's lives were not accurately reflecting their given names, they would change their names. Do you think we do that nowadays? We put a little thought behind a name, look up the meaning and see what it says. When I named my children, I didn't want to name them after somebody else in my family. At one point, I figured they were already named after somebody in my family. There's an exception. She's an exception. Lola. She was named after her grandfather's mother, who had MS, died at an early age. So I wanted to bring into a name that meant something. But we don't do that nowadays. Now things we just, we make stuff up. And I ain't making fun of her, it's not her fault, but I have a coworker, her name is Princess. That's her name, give it a name, Princess, right on her birth certificate. Her parents named her Princess. I guess to each is their own. It was what they chose to do. Never mentioned it, but that's what we call her. That's actually her name, this Princess, on her birth certificate. Yeah, it's very interesting. But names were also changed. David explained the name of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, here was excellent or majestic. Also meaning wide, large, broad. The majesty is large and broad, even more than you can think about it. Also means glorious and goodly, lordly, worthy. We've talked about the word Elohim before, naming God as the creator God. But that's not what he's addressing here. He's addressing Yahweh. Jehovah in the Greek, Yahweh in the Hebrew. God's personal name. Why is this significant? What does this mean to us? First, we understand that the creator of the universe introduced himself by name. Like, hello, my name is Michael. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 16, God actually gives his name, his greeting. This is who I am. This is my name. My name is Yahweh. Jehovah in the Greek. When I think of Jehovah, I always think of Jehovah Witnesses. It's hilarious. When I was struggling spiritually trying to find my path, I almost went to Jehovah Witness Seminary. They were the easiest to get into. They didn't care. Take anybody. But then when you hear their doctrine, you're like, whoa, that doesn't make sense. That's definitely not true. So the creator of the universe has introduced himself, and he desires a relationship with us. Second, the mighty creator of the universe offers a covenant with us. He wants to be our redeemer, Yahweh. That's God's covenant name. Yahweh is God's people, so he knows he's going to keep his covenant with us. We have a relationship through his son and his covenant. Through his son's sacrifice for our sins, even though he was sinless. Thirdly, we can get his attention. David begins the psalm by saying, O Lord! Jesus made an approach. He made it a little more personal. Jesus says, our Father who art in heaven. You know, hallowed be his name. The Apostle Paul takes it a step further and says, Abba, Father, Daddy. How blessed we are to be living on this side of the cross, whether we realize it or not. You know, I saw a comedian, I'm going to say his name a little messed up. It's Yasha or something. He's Russian. Real kind of famous guy back in the late 80s and 90s. And it was an old clip of him, and he was saying that when he came to the United States with his family from Russia, they lived in a small little apartment in New York. And they were thinking of all the things they were thankful for, but in America we just call it thanks. It's just, you know, thanks, Thanksgiving. And he said he got around the corner, he got around the table, and then his father gave a prayer. And they were all holding hands. And he said they didn't let go of each other's hands when he said amen. Because there was no words to express how he felt. Living in this land from where he came from. And that's how I feel about trying to explain Jesus and what he did for us. There's no words to express. It's like I get tongue-tied trying to explain it to somebody who doesn't know. We don't have the comprehension of it, what his sacrifice was. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself here, but we don't understand the power and the glory of what God did for us, of what he created for us, the heaven and the earth, and that he placed us in it to rule over it. That's how I feel, how that guy was explaining. He said his family sat there crying because he said that in America we got parades. He's like, I like parades without missiles. That's what their parades were. He said, I like having to go to the parade and not being forced to go to a parade and look at tanks. So many times people come to this country that are here to love it. But sometimes Americans, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th generation Americans, complain. This is not the greatest nation. This is nothing. They don't even understand they can say that without fear of reprisal, being drug out the street and burnt, put on a stick for somebody's electricity to light the park. Anyway, God's name, power, and glory is all revealed through earth, through his creation. God is the master of creation, Yahweh. Creation's order and beauty reveals through him, natural or general revelation. In the military, we have general military authority, and then we got command authority. General military authority, I'm a sergeant first class, I'm a master sergeant, I'm a first sergeant. You're a private, you're going to do whatever you're told to you because I outrank you. But then that private could have authority coming from a general saying, hey, go tell them this message. She carries his authority. So the revelation of God is extended through the individual because we know. But then we also know that God reveals himself through nature, through creativity, through what he created. I always get the same argument with almost the same person at work. She's the only one who's most likely, in my non-professional opinion, not a Christian. She argues the Bible with me, and she'll reach to a point where I just stop talking to her. I just choose not to argue because I'll get angry, and I don't want to get angry. And she always throws the same thing at me. Well, what about the little tribe of somebody in somewhere who's never heard the gospel? Well, this is the answer. God's going to reveal himself through his creation, even to those people. We're blessed. We got the word, whether we realize it or not. They're not blessed. They don't have the word. They have to have God reveal himself through his creation, which is possible. And that's everywhere across the board. God can reveal himself. So they know everything is created. God longs for all people to know he, Yahweh, is the only true and living God who is the Most High above. His glory is above the heavens. This wording is very significant. God's glory and shining greatness of his character cannot be contained by creation. You can look in creation and realize this isn't something that accidentally happened. This happened. This is a creator. A divine person was in charge of this and created this. This is how this happened. No other way but that. God's strength is seen in his choice of having the weak to serve him. God doesn't have to have a great theologian to come teach somebody something. He doesn't have to. He can get a simple little child and get a simple little child to explain it in a way where you have no choice but to comprehend it. He doesn't have to get a scientist, a Christian scientist, to explain the meaning of all this, which is pretty cool. I've seen a bunch of that stuff, which is awesome. A child can look at a little baby. You think that was an accident? Some of y'all be quiet. He can look at a little baby and how it was conceived and how it grew in its mother's stomach. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't through evolution. You think a little tadpole came out of the water and that's how that? No. Everything is designed. Because we have a creator God, who put everything together. Then he placed us right in the middle of it. Now David, laying in the field, he sees all this. And he's looking at the stars, and he's seeing the stars. Now I know our technology nowadays, we can look and see a lot further than what David can see. But I say the opposite. Because there was no electricity, there was no street lights, there was no cities that are all lit up. Imagine being in the dark. You drive across country and you get way outside a city, you'll see dark. Go to some of these countries that don't have electricity, you'll see darkness. And then when you look up in the sky, when it's nice and clear, and look at the majesty of what David is seeing, what we saw when we were a child, what I saw when I fell out of that deer stand looking up at the sky. We see the majesty of heaven. I know you're like, where's your point? God placed us in this. He placed every one of us at this particular time in his place for his purpose. You know, I ranted about creation forever. But I can ask a person what they think about creation and how long it took the earth to be made. And I can tell you if they think they can lose their salvation. Do you think they're covered by the blood of Christ? I can ask them what they think about the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and tell you they got flawed theology. They were led down a path. Like my friend I was talking about earlier, well, people weren't that old. They just counted time differently. I already know she doesn't read the account of Genesis. Because on that side of the flood and this side of the flood, it even says man's life will only be 120 years. So they don't get an opportunity to live forever. That's when God changed how we do it. So you can just tell certain things by how they talk about Genesis. But look at all the creation. He put us together in this spot for his purpose. We have angels. In this text, we have angels. Every time in the Bible when an angel shows itself, a person's in fear. They bow down. And every time the angel says, get up, I'm just a created being like you. Which I don't understand Catholics, why they worship angels, because it says right there in the Bible, don't worship me, I'm a created being. It's in the Bible. I don't know if they read it or not. I know some good Christian Catholics, so I'm not bad-mashing them. But you don't pray through an angel. You don't worship a saint. You don't do any of that. Jesus is the only way to heaven, period. But he made man a little bit above an angel. If we ever get to Revelation, you'll see we're going to be in charge of angels one day. We're going to judge them. Man, God chose to put us in this one spot in the middle of creation where we're going to be in charge of everything. Gave us a pathway to salvation through the blood of his son, Christ, who not only was tortured before he got put on that cross to die, he came out of that grave for us as well. We're almost going to celebrate the birth of Christ. And we really should be celebrating it every day. The birth of creation, the birth of Christ, the death of Christ. Every single day, this should happen. Sometimes we forget how insignificant we are. Well, God placed us here. But he placed us here, and he put us in charge. He put us in charge of all the animals. I give you dominion over them. Things that fly in the air, things that swim in the sea. Don't fall in the ocean and tell a shark you have dominion over them because you're going to die. But I've actually said that to something before I ran into the woods. I'm like, it was just a coyote, and I scared it. And I was like, I have dominion over them. But if there's more than one, I'm out of there. Yeah, because right now creation has fallen as well. You have to realize that. And people tell me, oh, take care of the earth. Yeah, I'm with you. Take care of the planet. God told Adam and Eve, tend the garden. You take care of this garden. You take care of this place. But I also know we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth pretty soon. And we're in charge of it through the blood of Christ. If it wasn't for that, it never would have happened. And that's what we need to keep in our heads. At all times. This is Christ's body, broken for us. I'm the worst Methodist you're ever going to meet. We've discussed it. If you've heard me speak one time, you understand. They're going down a path I can't follow. But this right here is something the Methodists got right. Communion. Christ's body, broken for us, broken for me. So many times I think about that and I feel unworthy. Unworthy of that sacrifice. No matter how good you are, you're evil inside. This is his blood that was spilled for us. Just think about it. He didn't have to do that. It was his choice. He put himself on the cross. He allowed it to happen. For our sins. Before the beginning of time, he knew this was going to happen, that he was going to have a pathway for us to be redeemed with him. And he put himself. The word became flesh. It's one of those moments I don't have words. I can't express it to you enough. The sacrifice that he did for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, before we begin this communion, let's take some time and think about the sacrifice you made for us, Father. Your body was broken for us. You spilled your blood for our sins, even though you yourself were sinless. So we can come together with communion with you, Father. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.